And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
It's the first day of December and the first Thursday of Advent, and you're tuned to The Cradle and the Convert on WDCR. I'm Dave Slade, the Cradle Catholic, here with Dan Walker.
Good morning.
My co-host this week, Mark Barthelemy, is enjoying time somewhere in Florida with his family recuperating from his back surgery. So, Dan, how you doing? How was your Thanksgiving?
Pretty awesome. Finally started feeling better and always had a chance to get our family together, which, you know, best thing about the holiday.
Yeah, we kind of missed you last week. We were up in the lobby, you know, greeting people and telling them what they were thankful for. And I know you were home ill, and I kind of wondered how your Thanksgiving went. I'm glad to hear you were feeling better.
Oh, need to make sure I could taste the food.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I want to thank everybody that stopped by last week in our Thanksgiving show up in the lobby at St. Mary's. That lobby is just the most beautiful place to have a radio show. It's all glass. There's fountains. The people are wandering through, waving and talking. It was just, it's a lot of fun. You know what, Dan?
I wish I was there. Too bad I had to miss it.
Dan Perryman, the CEO of St. Mary's, and Debbie Seitz from the foundation talked to us about the Christmas light on the top of the star on top of the hospital. Jessica Michael and a myriad of others came by to talk to us, and we had a lot of fun. It's always good to be up in the lobby where we can see people and they can see us.
When did they light that star?
Next week.
Oh, next week's coming up. Okay.
Yep, I think we'll have that on the community calendar. It's not too late to buy a light on the star, Debbie told me. I think Friday is the deadline, so tomorrow would probably be about it.
Okay.
I want to congratulate St. Teresa High School on their football season that concluded last Friday in the state 1A final. Boy, I'll tell you, what a great season. And considering that's a first-year coach for that program, that's really wonderful.
You know, the seniors, I would say, deserved it. I happened to be able to make it to the game Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a little chilly, but it was enjoyable. The kids did have spunk. They really gave it their best effort. I'm happy for the seniors that they were able to leave on a high note.
Yeah.
Runner-up state, still a heck of an accomplishment that they will remember the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's big. And we also wanted to congratulate the team from Maroa Forsyth that was also a finalist. They played in 2A, and they finished second in their 2A Division II. So a lot of good football here in Macon County, Dan.
A lot of great area teams that show how hard work can pay off.
Yeah, absolutely. On the show today, we'll be talking with Marina Neufeld of the Catholic Charities Ministry, Faith in Action, a program that assists senior citizens to remain in their homes by providing vital services to the Decatur residents. Marina will tell us all about that in just a few minutes. Also on the show, we'll preview the gospel for the second Sunday of Advent, Year A. Dan, did you know that we just began a new liturgical year?
I believe I do.
Yeah, and I know how. So happy New Year as far as the liturgical year goes. It began on the first Sunday of Advent, which was last Sunday, and the year ends, the church year ends on the Solemnity of Christ the King. We also just changed from Year C to Year A, Dan. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
We did.
Why
we went,
not Year D?
Well, there's only A, B, and C.
Well, there
so
you go.
Once you get to C, you go back to A. And that's why our little missal that we were getting ready to practice our gospel from didn't have Year C in it.
I bet you Mark would have known that.
Yeah, he would have. He would have. He'll probably call in and say something about that before we're done. We have a community calendar. We have Mass information for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is a holy day of obligation, so don't say nobody told you. That's a Mass that we're obliged to attend. We'll have a message from Bishop Thomas John Paparocki later. And so let's take our first break, and we'll take a big, deep breath, and we'll get right back here with Marina Neufeld from Faith in Action.
For almost 1,500 years, thousands of men and women in monasteries around the world have found St. Benedict's rule to be a sure guide to Christian life.
1 Minute Monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
The rule has exercised a profound influence in history. But do you know what St. Benedict himself thinks of the rule he wrote? He calls it simply a little rule for beginners. He points us beyond himself to the work of others and ultimately to the Bible as the truest guide for human life. St. Benedict's rule has endured so long because he kept his mission in mind. He pointed people to Christ not to himself.
For your free copy of The Rule of Saint Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com. oneminutemonk.com.
We too are most productive and helpful when we keep our mission in mind and seek to respond to what others really need rather than to impose what we want to do.
1 year after I graduated Catholic high school, I eloped to Las Vegas, Nevada. My husband was not Catholic, and at the time, I didn't really think that it really mattered which church we went to, because we all love God and we all love Jesus, and that was the start of my journey out of the Catholic Church, where I remained out of the Catholic Church for over 30 years. When I started to read the Bible, I could see that our Catholic faith is steeped in Scripture. I could see some of the sacraments in Scripture. I could see some of the liturgy in Scripture. I learned that the Catholic Church was started by Jesus Christ, who gave the authority to Peter, and it has continued in succession down to the present day. And that was the start of my journey home to the Catholic Church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, and in the studio with me this morning is Marina Neufeldt, and she is the director of the Faith in Action program from Catholic Charities right here in Decatur. Welcome, Marina.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
I know we have some spots for Faith in Action that you helped us with that we run currently on the air during top and bottom of the hour breaks, but we wanted to have you in this morning, especially this time of the year with the holidays coming up, to talk about Faith in Action, what the program is, what the people do, how people volunteer, and just, you know, to inform us a little bit about what Faith in Action is all about.
Okay, we can do that.
Good. So Faith in Action is a part of Catholic Charities from the Diocese of Springfield.
Correct.
And you're located downtown Decatur, mm-hmm. On West Prairie Street. Is that right?
Correct.
Now, you have volunteers that do the main work for in the field for Faith in Action, right? Drivers and people that go out into the community and help elderly and disabled and folks like that have different issues?
Yep, that's correct.
What do they do?
The volunteers provide many different services. One of the main ones would be transportation to doctor's appointments, transportation to grocery shopping, and running simple errands that, you know, getting your hair done or barbershop, going to the bank, things that you and I can do, mm-hmm. Just to get in our cars and go, that a lot of the seniors can't do. The volunteers provide that for them. We also provide friendly visits to the homebound individual. A lot of times with those, it's usually about an hour of visit, mm-hmm. and they can volunteer can say, you know, if they want to visit twice a month or four times a month, it's all up to them. And then we also provide reading and writing services. We have a lot of people with low vision or macular that we help read for them. And
wow.
Then in the Christmas time, it's nice because we help them, you know, write out letters for them and cards that they want to send out. And then we also have respite care for caregivers.
Now, respite care, that's come and spend time giving the caregiver a break?
Correct.
Okay.
So that's, it's a friendly visit for the care person in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that way the caregiver can get out for an hour or so and kind of do their own thing.
Yeah, kind of compose themselves. I know caregivers, it's a very, very important and very difficult position to be put in, to take care of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Stressful.
Yeah.
So you'll come in and spell them for an hour or so.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
I had never realized that was part of it.
Yeah, we can do that as well.
Now, to be a Faith in Action volunteer, whether it's a driver or a visitor or somebody that wants to come in and help compose letters or write Christmas cards, what kind of training or what does one need to do to become a part of that?
Usually they just have to contact me at the office, and we set up a time to get that done. Usually it's about an hour's worth of orientation, paperwork. Each volunteer does have to go through a background check.
Mm-hmm.
But if you already have that done through the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
then you don't have to have another one.
Oh, the Protecting God's mm-hmm. Children program?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but usually it's just about an hour's worth, and that's That's stretching it.
Got a question. if you cannot commit an hour a week or an hour a month, but you can commit some time, are there some tasks that you can assign that are one-time tasks?
Yeah, we have a lot of people that just do, or they might do the minor yard work, and they'll do it in the fall and spring for the care receivers. So they only sign up to do that.
Okay, so you have plenty of needs, and you let the volunteer let you know what they want to do.
And, and a lot of times we have a lot of people that just volunteer in the summer because they're here, and then they go to Florida in the wintertime, and so they only help, you know, that time. So it's really flexible for what the volunteer can do.
Now, Marina, I would be willing to bet that a lot of these folks that get involved with Faith in Action actually develop a bit of a relationship with the folks they help, right?
Correct.
You know, I do Meals on Wheels, and I poke my head in for 2 or 3 minutes and say hi to people and have developed a relationship with them. I would assume that if you're driving someone to a doctor's appointment or something, that you can really develop a friendship and give that person that you're helping an ear to listen to, or just you know, an opportunity to converse. You know, so often people are homebound. They only talk to the dog, the cat, or the TV.
Yeah.
Kind of like I do anyway. But to have an outlet occasionally. Now, I have a good friend that does Faith in Action, and he drives folks around. His name's Cecil Luger. And Cecil's been doing Faith in Action for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me, you know, he takes women to their hairdressers or men to the doctor's appointments. And he always seems very upbeat and happy to help out. That's a really, really nice thing. And I think that's what most people think of when they think of Faith in Action, is the transportation part of it. But there's a lot more to it in it. Like you said, a little housework and a little yard work, that type of thing.
Yeah, and a lot of times, too, with the volunteers, especially if you don't know what you're getting into and you're kind of nervous, and you'll see the care receiver, you'll take them and you realize exactly what kind of relationship you do build with them. So a lot of our volunteers, once they take one person, they want to take that person all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten several times where the volunteer thanks me for being able to be part of the program, because they actually get more out of it than, you know, the care receiver gets.
Yeah,
they get a ride to the store, to their doctor's appointment, but the volunteer is the one at the end of the day that gets the feel good about what they've done, you know, and they're the ones that have been blessed a lot of times.
Yeah, and you know, especially this time of year, Marina, with the holidays upon us, there are a lot of individuals, elderly and otherwise, that are alone, and it can be a very difficult time of the year, can't it?
Yes, it is.
So when they have a visit or someone that'll offer them a ride or assist them in some chore, it really truly is one of the works of mercy that we talk about, being able to give of ourselves. And during this season, especially during Advent, which is a season of preparation, it's really a wonderful thing. It just gives you a good feeling.
Yes, it does.
And just think of the feeling it gives those people that need the ride to the bank or to get their hair done or whatever, pick up prescriptions, that type of thing.
Correct.
Now, are you in need of any volunteers?
Oh, yes, we always are.
Why don't you tell us about how someone can go about volunteering?
Okay, they would just call the office at, do you want me to give the phone number?
Sure.
Okay, the phone number is 217-428-0013. And they would usually talk to me, or they had to leave a message. And we would just set up a time to do the orientation, which is about an hour's worth of time. And they let me know what services they want to provide. You know, if they don't want to do transportation, they don't have to, or if that's all they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we do the orientation according to what they're wanting,
their interests are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure that if you want to be a driver, you need to bring in your proof of insurance.
Yeah, everybody.
And your driver's license.
Yep, those are two main things right there. And then they are volunteers down at that point, and they can start as soon as they get background checks and all that stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
They can start providing services.
So somebody here in the show this morning could literally call you today or tomorrow, and maybe by next week would be
a volunteer.
The background
for Faith
checks go quick enough.
Yeah.
Excellent.
They're instant, pretty much.
Do you have to be Catholic to volunteer?
No, you don't.
So this is open.
This is open to everybody.
For those who are called to serve, who want to serve, mm-hmm. give you a call.
Yeah, this ministry is pretty much open to, you know, anybody out in the community in Macon County. So it's not just Decatur that we service. We service people in Argenna, Cerro Gordo, Blue Mound. So it's anybody in Macon County. And a lot of times it's those smaller towns that we need the volunteers for, because our Decatur volunteers are then having to go to the Argenna and the Blue Mounds, and sometimes it gets a little harder mm-hmm. for the care receiver to be able to get things done when we have mainly the volunteers in Decatur.
You know what's so special, what I think is beautiful about this program, Faith in Action, is, you know, being Catholics, we do a lot of fundraising. Mm-hmm. And even in this community, our Macon County, Decatur community do a great job. You know, the food drive, all the different fundraisers we have for the missions and whatnot to help those in need. Typically, charity is time, talents, and treasures. Usually, we're always asking for treasure. You know, do you have mm-hmm. a monetary giving? Here, it's just time. You don't, and we're all talented in our own way. But if you have, for those who might not have the treasure, but want to give, especially in the time of the holidays, Christmas is the time to serve others. Time is something I think we all have, and it's a simple way to feel good about yourself and help others.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're talking to Marina Neufeld from Faith in Action here on WDCR, The Cradle and the Convert. Marina, what if someone would like to have services from Faith in Action? Someone's listening that says, hey, you know, that sounds like a good thing. Maybe I could get a ride to the grocery store once a week or to get my hair done. How would they get involved in the program?
They, too, call the phone number, the 428-0013, and they would talk to me. And then I have to do a home assessment mm-hmm. a lot of times that way just so I can see what kind of environment they're in and make sure
that they truly are in need and to so
correct.
Speak.
Correct, yeah. And then I would set up a time to do that, and then they would be instantly a care receiver at that time. And a lot of times I go ahead and take appointments at that first assessments that are appointments that are coming up in a month or so. Mm-hmm. But with transportation in any of our services, we do ask for 5-day notice for that. So if you have an appointment to go tomorrow, unfortunately, I couldn't help you.
Yeah.
But so we do ask for 5 days notice.
Sure,
so
you have to be able to schedule them out a little
yeah,
in advance.
Because it is volunteers. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to go according to what they can provide.
Now, I know sometimes at Meals on Wheels, Rolanda doesn't have enough volunteers and she has to run her out.
Yes.
Do you ever have to go out? And
oh, yeah. yeah. And that's, and I think, too, that's where I can feel like I understand what the volunteers get out of it.
Yeah.
Because I have made relationships with the care receivers. And, you know, it's more than just an hour time that I spend with them when I do yearly assessments. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get to know them in a different way. So, I run around as well.
Wow, that's you know, what a great thing. You know, Macon County, you were talking, Dan, about how giving this community is. And Catholic Charities is a big part of that. You know, we're blessed to have a Macon County, or is it Mid-Central or Central Illinois, Macon County Catholic Charities? I forget what the actual title
we're
is.
Catholic Charities of Macon. I don't know.
Okay, Marie, we'll figure that out.
Sponsored by Catholic Charities. Yeah, I don't know.
But we have.
Good question.
But we cover Macon County. WDCR reaches out to every portion of Macon County and beyond. And Catholic Charities of Macon County here reaches out to all those small communities as well. So, you know, give Marina a call if you'd like to volunteer. We are in need. This is a time of year when especially it's needful. And, of course, during the winter, a lot of the volunteers are gone away, like she said, down to Florida, like Mark is right now. And it's a great way to get involved. And it's an easy way to take a tiny step towards stewardship. You know, some people think, gosh, how do I even begin? Well, this would be a great way. Call Catholic Charities. Call Marina at 428-0013. Check their website at, that's a pretty good website. Let me see. Neufeld, _DEC at cc.dio.org. The best thing to do is just call that number, 428-0013.
That was my email address.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah,
the website's a great big old long.
It's CC at DIO, it's the last part of...
Oh, okay. DEC
No, just the CC part. Don't go to the website.
Sometimes I'm looking at too many computers at once. Yeah, there's the website's there, but 428-0013. Marina, thanks for coming in this morning. Anything else you want to share with us before you head off to work?
That all our services, there's free of charge.
It's all free of charge.
So there's no charge for any of the services, but we always do take donations.
The donations, yeah. We didn't mention that. How can someone donate to the Catholic Charities?
They just need to fill out that check and make it to Faith in Action and send it to the office here in town.
Okay, and remember what Dave always says, no check is too large.
Oh, I like that.
We use that around here, too. Marina Neufeld from Faith in Action, Catholic Charities here in Decatur and Macon County, has been our guest this morning talking about what Faith in Action is all about. If you're interested, give her a call at 428-0013. If you need services or you want to help provide services, it's a great way and a great time of year to get involved, okay? Thanks, Marina, for coming in. We'll be back right after this.
Oftentimes, it is easy to think that we are facing an upward battle when it comes to fighting abortion. But our Lord reminds us that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Your faithful dedication will help us make abortion unthinkable in this country. Human life is sacred. Think about it. CoalitionForLife.com.
This is Dale Alquist with a Chesterton Minute. What is a fanatic? Well, have you ever heard someone defending animal rights as if they have completely forgotten about human rights? G.K. Chesterton says that is a perfect example of a fanatic. Someone with a sense of a particular truth that is too strong for his sense of the universal truth. He will invoke even cruelty to prevent cruelty to animals. Later, he may even invoke cruelty to animals to prevent cruelty to pit ponies. It is not merely that he has kept one thing and lost a thousand things. It is that he has lost the basis even of the one thing. For a man cannot long remain right without a reason. We must accept all the universal truths so that we don't go off balance with one particular truth. And where do we find the perfect balance of all universal truths? In the Catholic Church. Want more than a minute? Chesterton.org.
There will come a day when each of us will be asked to review the movie of our life and give an account to God. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times and joyfully revisit the good. Thankfully, no matter what you've done, there is hope. Since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. So if you've been away from church for a while, we invite you to come home and find the peace that only comes from God. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
All right, we're back here on The Cradle and the Convert, and we're going to go right now to Springfield, to the diocese offices of the bishop, and we're going to listen to his column from the last Catholic Times. So here's Bishop Thomas John Paparocki.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't call it a funeral service, said Brad Rex, chief executive of Foundation Partners Group, which owns 50 funeral homes and 9 cemeteries in 14 states. We call it a gathering. Most of Foundation's homes have a multi-sensory experience room, said Mr. Rex. A feature article in the business section of the November 3, 2016 issue of the Wall Street Journal described the fashionable approaches that some segments of the funeral industry are pursuing in their quest to stay relevant. It is interesting to note that Mr. Rex previously ran Walt Disney Company's Epcot theme park in Orlando. Having someone from the entertainment industry rather than a mortician run a funeral home seems indicative of an unfortunate trend. Using audio and video equipment, these multi-sensory experience rooms can create the atmosphere of a golf course, complete with the scent of newly mowed grass, to salute the life of a golfing fanatic. It can also conjure up a beach, mountain, or football stadium. All of this may seem attractive, but it is not a very Catholic way to do a funeral. Another troubling trend is the increase in the number of people seeking cremation. About half of U.S. deaths this year are expected to result in cremation, up from less than 10% in 1980. The proportion will keep rising and should top 70% by 2030, according to the National Funeral Directors Association. For those seeking cremation, the funeral industry now offers a variety of alternatives for ashes, including services that rocket remains into space. Remains can be incorporated into jewelry, lawn statues, and even furniture. "You buy a bench, and you put Mom and Dad in this granite bench," said Lawrence Miller, chief executive of Stonemore Partners, LP, an operator of cemeteries and funeral homes. The attitude behind these trends is summed up by Catherine McMiller, 60 years old, a health records consultant in Rancho Santa Margarita, California. When she dies, McMiller wants to be cremated and sees no need for a service or burial plot. "What's the point of being buried somewhere?" she asked. That's a very good question, precisely one which the Vatican sought to answer recently with the instruction issued from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, with the approval of Pope Francis, entitled, in Latin, Ad Resurgendum Cum Christo, which means to rise with Christ. This title is explained in greater detail as follows. The resurrection of Jesus is the culminating truth of the Christian faith, preached as an essential part of the Paschal mystery from the very beginnings of Christianity. Through his death and resurrection, Christ freed us from sin and gave us access to a new life, so that, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Our Christian burial practices stem from this faith and hope that we too will share in Christ's resurrection when our mortal bodies are raised up to new life. This conviction of faith leads to the key assertion of this Vatican instruction. Following the most ancient Christian tradition, the Church insistently recommends that the bodies of the deceased be buried in cemeteries or other sacred places. In memory of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, the mystery that illumines the Christian meaning of death, burial is, above all, the most fitting way to express faith and hope in the resurrection of the body. The Vatican instruction also addresses the issue of cremation, which is chosen in some cases because of sanitary, economic, or social considerations. In such circumstances, the Church raises no doctrinal objections to this practice, since cremation of the deceased body does not affect his or her soul, nor does it prevent God and His omnipotence from raising up the deceased body to new life. Thus, cremation is not prohibited unless it was chosen for reasons contrary to Christian doctrine. Nevertheless, the Church continues to prefer the practice of burying the bodies of the deceased because this shows a greater esteem towards the deceased. The next question is what to do with the ashes if cremation has been chosen. The Vatican instruction answers this question by saying, when, for legitimate motives, cremation of the body has been chosen, the ashes of the faithful must be laid to rest in a sacred place, that is, in a cemetery, or, in certain cases, in a church, or an area which has been set aside for this purpose, and so dedicated by the competent ecclesial authority. The reason for this is that the reservation of the ashes of the departed in a sacred place ensures that they are not excluded from the prayers and remembrance of their family or the Christian community. Thus, the conservation of the ashes of the departed in a domestic residence is not permitted. In addition, it is not permitted to scatter the ashes of the faithful departed in the air, on land, at sea, or in some other way, nor may they be preserved in mementos, pieces of jewelry, or other objects. Another disturbing practice with regard to funerals is when the non-church-going children of a deceased practicing Catholic choose not to have a mass of Christian burial in church, opting instead for a simple prayer service at the funeral home. Those who do this show profound disrespect for the faith of the deceased Catholic who attended Mass regularly and would want to have a funeral in church with a mass of Christian burial. Our faith teaches that the purpose of a mass of Christian burial is to pray for the eternal salvation of the deceased, which cannot be presumed or taken for granted. Catholics who wish to make sure that they receive a proper Catholic funeral with a mass of Christian burial should include their instructions in their last will and should discuss their wishes with whomever will be responsible for their funeral arrangements when they die. People can also prearrange their own funerals with a funeral director according to their wishes and instructions in keeping with our Catholic faith. During this month of November dedicated to remembrance of the dead, let us pray for their eternal rest as we look forward with hope to the resurrection in glory of all the faithful departed in Christ. May God give us this grace. Amen.
All right, we want to thank Bishop Paprocki for sending his message over to us to play on the show when it comes out. We're going to take a real quick break here, and we're going to come back with this Sunday's preview, the second Sunday of Advent, the gospel that's coming up. Okay, so stay with us.